This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, alongside, of course, as we ramp up towards real college football, meaning week number one, and the NFL, just 9 days away, because there's a Wednesday night game next week.
That's right.
9 days
Monday away. Night football in 2 weeks, though.
A couple things. Yeah.
Who is Aryna Sabalenka playing right now?
She's playing Camila Osorio.
Oh, boy. You know, like, when you see those, like, UFC tail the tapes, and you're like, this person doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Sabalenka looks like she's got about a foot on this girl.
Yeah. Osorio used to be a pretty pesky player.
Really?
Not so much. Oh, yeah. We used to bet on her and win quite, you know.
Not familiar with
regularly.
That. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But Sabalenka can hit through her at this point. Couple things. One, earlier on the show, off air, I made the outlandish comment per Kelly. I don't think it's outlandish. I think it's correct. For the first time in my bottled water rankings, Fiji has fallen to 3. Evian is number 1. The new number 2, Aquapana. Over.
You didn't want to show it on camera?
Well, I don't know. They're not paying for anything.
They are paying. No free advertising, huh?
I mean, I mentioned
them. So, a couple comments on that. What I told you immediately, of all the years that we've power ranked stuff, it's the worst power rankings take you've ever had.
Okay. As the guy who says there should only be indoor football, I would ratchet that back.
I just don't know what happened to you, bro. Like, 6 months ago,
Fiji's too syrupy for me.
That changed, like, in 6 months. You used to be a big Fiji guy.
Yeah, maybe I'm getting old.
You know, apparently everybody in this city is changing their minds like you, because every casino keeps switching from Fiji to Evian, seemingly.
It's a little syrupy.
I miss Fiji. I love Fiji. And that one, specifically, who agreed with me? Krakenberger? Bill did. But
Bill loves that.
But I don't really know that it's the case, because we've gotten some tweets about it. I've only ever seen that water in casinos in Las Vegas or casino restaurants in Las Vegas.
It's a beautiful thing.
Mainly the restaurants.
Also here, we didn't really plan on doing a numbers game gambling book club this summer.
What do we got?
Chrissy Andrews came in here, and talked about his book, Then One Life. It was so great to have Chrissy back. I read the book cover to cover, by the way, Then One Life. It's fantastic. There's a VSiN chapter in there. You may be interested.
I want to say over half, but it's probably slightly under half.
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful.
But yeah, I read the VSiN chapter.
We had Chrissy in here. It was honest.
It was very honest.
And then we had Jay Cohen in here, courtesy of the Crackman last week. Jay, the author of Odds Man Out, chronicling the entire rise and fall of World Sports Exchange back in the 90s and into the 2000s. It was great to have Jay on. Our next book club entry and our next guest will be, you ready for this? I think he's been on other shows on the network so far, but we're going to have... Anthony Curtis's guy, Blair Rodman, is going to be on the show here at some point. Talk about his book, All About Sports Betting, The Definitive Guide.
Okay.
That's
like
a new, brand new sports betting book that's out from Blair Rodman. So we should get Blair on the show. And then in October, promoting her new book, Advantage Player, The Return of Gina Fiore.
Oh my gosh, I meant to text you about this.
What?
Wait, she has a new book coming out?
It's out. I mean, I have the PDF. She has a book out, and I think HBO has optioned her life story as a series.
Okay, that's where I wasn't going to go. Yes, HBO creating a series. I actually thought it was a movie at first. Creating a series called Advantage Player on her.
Series. I thought it was a movie, too.
Okay, I meant to text you about this last week, so I'm very glad you just said this on there. Because, we got to get her back on again. That's awesome.
The Numbers Game Book Club.
I was kind of sitting over here smiling because I actually just forwarded you an email about somebody else with a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We'll talk about it after the show.
Okay.
But it's funny because it's a PR email, but it's from listening to the Jay Cohen interview. So our book series, my point is our book series is really taking off because PR agencies are listening into it.
I wonder if the Jay Cohen thing didn't,
maybe
precipitate one.
You know who Larry and I decided he looked like?
Larry, our director?
The Larry Bear back there. Larry Bear. Yeah. We decided he looked like a Penn brother. Like, he could be like not, he doesn't look like Sean Penn or Chris Penn. He looks like he could be like the third Penn brother.
Okay. Larry Penn.
Yeah, Larry Penn.
Yeah.
No, not Larry Beard. No, no.
This is not good for listeners because they don't know what
Larry
looks like.
Jay last week.
Oh, Jay Cohen. Yes. I thought you meant Larry.
Yes. Larry and I decided he looks like a Penn brother.
Gotcha. Okay.
Trying to figure out what he
really
looks like.
I didn't really see that, but all right. NFL preseason in the rear view. What was your favorite memory of this year's preseason? Which I contend again.
Getting
for some
excited
reason,
about betting it and then it being over in 2 weeks?
For some reason, again, I'll say it, when they went from 4 weeks of preseason to three,
mm-hmm.
and stay tuned because it might get to 2 weeks here at some point too. It just, I'm not saying you can't make money on it. Love people who do. But it does fizzle quickly when it's three, to the point where it's like 1.5 weeks of preseason now, I think.
Yeah.
You get really pumped for the first week. You bet the first week. And then your bets taper off for week two. And week three, you barely acknowledge.
So you want
that's what it feels like.
You want to hear my betting results for this preseason?
Please.
Came out of the gates firing. We were all pumped about it. We talk up preseason big. 3-2 that week one.
Nice.
1-1 week two. Only ended up with two bets.
Just what I
said.
And
it felt forced.
Yeah.
Even one of them felt forced.
And then 0-0 week three.
And 0-1.
Oh, 0-1.
I bet that Cowboys won. Fezzik and I were oppo. He beat me. So, yeah. Oh, but there was only one game I was even remotely interested in betting on this week.
It's just, again, when it was four.
Yeah.
I'll say it for the 100th time. When there was 4 weeks, they all kind of played it the same way. They went gung-ho crescendo up to week three. Week three was the biggest sort of predictor of who they'll play in week one of the real season, and they played guys for about a half. And then week four, they rested everybody, and you knew that.
And so
now it's everybody does whatever they want to do.
Yeah. And some even back then did more on week two than others. Like, that was a fun puzzle to figure out. But now these days, you kind of know they're doing nothing week three.
Well, that's the thing. So not knowing what, you know, having 32 teams that are going to play it 32 different ways is a great thing for the first week. But by the time week three rolls around, it's so mishmashed, you can't bet it anymore, generally. That's my feel.
Also, I'd have to go back and break it down, but I actually thought, so Fez ended up on the Saints, and we almost had completely opposite reasoning, and he might be right. We might now be with this three games of just, if you get to that third week, look for those teams that were 0-2 and have had the crap beaten out of them to go try to make up something in that final.
This is Fez, of course, taking Dr. Bob's tried and truth, and nothing is originating with Fez. This is Dr. Bob's thing when the old days, if you lost week one and you were playing a team that won week one, and this was a week two preseason games, the team that lost the week one game was a great play, ATS. So that's a cousin to what that was, is what he's going with. It makes sense, right?
It does.
Makes sense. By the way, we have these numbers. I don't know what they mean. Underdogs finished.
It's worth trade. My people might want to track out there, okay?
Week three, underdogs were 11-5 against the spread for the entire preseason. Underdogs were 33-14-1 against the spread. Well, that is something to
look
at.
That is something. Shout out Dave Tooley.
Yeah, 70.2%. Tooley's takes.
Dog or pass Dave Tooley must have cleaned up this preseason if he was betting.
If he only bets dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Does Tooley still track it week by week in the NFL? Seems like week 12, he's like, under, I think, overs went.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure. Still does it. Pretty sure.
So there you go.
I made some week one bets.
Oh, did you?
I finally fired yesterday.
Oh, I signed up for contests, too, yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
All right, well, two things were, it did felt like football season was starting. And as soon, I made three bets yesterday, and that was my next thought. I was like, all right, Kelly, stop screwing around. Let's get these contests.
I went to the Tuscany.
Nice.
The Circa sort of, what do you call it, outpost.
Mm-hmm.
Right here off the strip, because it's closer to where I live.
Yeah, reminder, you can sign up at any of the Circle locations. Mm-hmm. So the D, Silverton, if you're down on the south part of
That's
town,
right.
You can go over to.
They couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been quieter, couldn't have been easier.
That's a good call, actually.
Six survivors as per use, 1 million as per use.
Okay, so no change for you.
No change for me. What were your picks week one?
I'm going to do one. I think I'm not changing either. It's 1 million's three survivor for me.
Yeah.
Plays that I made for week one, kind of been hinting at them. First of all, I did join because this number keeps going down every day. I feel like I look at it. Joined Drew Dinsick on the under on the Bucks Bengals. He played that last week. I think he played it at 51.5 Bucks Bengals. That is 50.5 in a lot of books. So I was able to get 151.5 under that. And then two teasers in for me, teased the Jags down, which I guess this is, I think this number is going to continue to move Jacksonville's way. It is 7.5 or 8 everywhere, but even yesterday it was more, I'm looking at more 8s on the board now than yesterday. So Jags down with the Jets up. Jets catching 2.5 on the road at the Titans. That was 3 for a long time. I missed out on the 3s. It's all 2.5 or less now with the Jets on the road at the Titans. And then also another teaser, Jags down with the, what the heck was the other one? With
Texans.
The Texans up. Yeah, Texans up.
As I'm looking at it on the screen, you're like, what the hell was the other? Texans.
Yeah, thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
There it is. There they go. There's Kelly's 3 bets so far. Week 1 of the NFL, 1 total play and 2 teasers. Both tied into the Jags. What could go wrong?
Jags? Come on. They've been one of the most trustworthy teams in the history of the NFL,
when
right?
When I think trustworthy professional sports franchise, I immediately gravitate towards the Jags. Survivor, what do we think? We're going to talk about Survivor 100 times before it actual starts.
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous to even start thinking about it.
Me too. By the way,
I'm riding with, I mean, Jason Lisk said it last week, right?
Oh, the Raiders?
Raiders are going to be one of those plays. I think. I'm pretty sure.
That's so, I'm thinking the same way, but it so feels like a play where 3 drives in, you're like, oh, why did I do this?
Oh, total, 100%.
Why did I do this?
But I'm kind of sticking to me. I'm like, nothing's worse, so it's not like you should listen to my strategy on this is how you do Survivor. But in my opinion, I like doing the aggressive path, conservative path, and then kind of true one in the middle. And I think that aggressive Raiders has got, it's got written aggressive all over it.
Technically speaking, it's 1 million for me and 5.5 survivors because I will split one.
I'm going to have a half one, too.
Yeah. Adam Burke, he's got baseball thoughts.
The Burke's
he's got some college football week 1 thoughts. Oh, he's next on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I just have to add to the water rankings that I gave my rankings right. Evian 1, I don't even know the name. Aquapana 2.
I don't know it either.
Fiji 3. And Darnell Glenn, who has been our, a numbers game employee of the month, a record 47 times. You know what he says? He thinks Arrowhead is the best water. I think that is grounds for just dismissal.
I think he was joking, but I'm not sure.
He was not joking.
I'm pretty sure. Was he joking? 10 years ago, I pulled up some breakdown study on bottled water, and Arrowhead was like one of the bottom ones as far as like cleanliness and stuff.
Chris Foster said it best. Chris Foster said, deep thoughts with Chris Foster,
he did.
Arrowhead is like someone else drank the water first and then you drink it.
It's like a full bottle of backwash.
Oh my God. Adam Burke joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the managing editor at VSiN.com. He is part of the glue, maybe the whole glue, not the whole glue, but he's most of the glue that holds this whole operation together. He joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter, of course, at Skating Tripods. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Doing very well. Would your Guardians just go away, please? Just go away. I'm just so annoying. They lose a bunch.
They're trying.
And they did this last year, too. You lost a bunch in a row, and you're like, oh, they're going to go away. No, then they come roaring back. Okay, you have a trio of baseball plays for us today, none that do involve the Guardians. What do you have?
Yeah, Guardians don't play today, so that's good. I'll actually be able to enjoy my evening, so that'll be nice. So I'm going to take a big shot here with the Giants and the Braves. I'm going to take a shot on the Giants in this one at a big underdog price. Anthony Molina gets the start here. He was a guy who was a farmhand for the Braves, came over to the Giants in the Tyler Mahle trade. So we'll see how he does in this one. I'm mostly looking just to fade Bryce Elder. His FIP in the second half, very, very high, 484. I'm not a big Bryce Elder guy. And look, this is a really, really strange situation for both of these teams. This is a makeup game from June 18th, so both of them are losing an off day. But the Giants played a doubleheader against the Diamondbacks on Saturday, so they had Sunday off to travel, whereas the Braves had to play yesterday, finish off their sweep in extra innings against the Rockies. So if I'm the Braves, I'm leading my division. I'm kind of pissed off to be losing an off day here. Got to travel to DC and take on the Nationals coming up here during the week, and then play a wraparound four gamer against the Phillies. Pretty big series next weekend for them. Just swept the Dodgers at home. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is just a really, really flat spot here for Atlanta. Whereas the Giants, I mean, they're not a good team. Obviously, their record shows that. But maybe the competitive juices get flowing when you play some of the better teams that are in the league, you know, especially a division leader like the Braves. So I think the Giants are worth it here today. I'm not going to say this is a punt for the Braves, but I don't think they're going to be super invested in this one. And Elder is a guy that I want to fade anyway. I don't want to lay a big price with him. So Giants in that plus 175 range, I think, is worth a shot here. And I did think about plus 1.5 in the minus 130 range as an alternate way of playing this one, but figured I'll just go ahead and hope that the Giants show up today.
Come on, Giants. Get them a big score. I love that whole handicap. It was sort of like a sheepish thing for him. I was like, I don't know. Maybe the Braves will have a letdown spot. Maybe the Giants will show up for it. That's how you got to do it with these Giants. I'm with you. Plus 174 on the San Francisco Giants at Truist Park in Atlanta tonight. You have a couple more for us.
Yeah, AL Central matchup here, Twins and Tigers. This is a price play for me, taking the Tigers at a plus money price. Jackson Jobe on the mound, Taj Bradley going for the Twins. I just don't really see a scenario where this game is that much more than a coin flippy type of line here. And in some respects, I kind of even like the Tigers a little bit because Jobe's had one bad start, gave up six runs to the White Sox. Other than that, he's been good, induced a ton of weak contact, been very, very effective. Taj Bradley is really good too, but you know, second half here, 4.84 ERA. You know, he's still missing a lot of bats, but he's walking more guys, giving up some more home runs. A guy that maybe getting a little bit tired, maybe kind of fatiguing a little bit here this late into the season with, you know, kind of an elevated workload, a guy who was hurt, you know, fairly often down there with the Rays and everything. Jackson Jobe is pretty strong, you know, coming back from injury, made some rehab starts. He's made four starts at the MLB level, probably just a little bit more in the gas tank for him at this point in time. And Tigers bullpen better by ERA, better by expected ERA in the month of August. So just a price play here, a price grab for me on the Tigers, you know, getting that plus 105, plus 110 type of price range on them against the Twins here today.
If the Tigers are going to make this interesting, it's got to start now. There's no time to waste. I mean, this is third best run differential in the American League, nowhere close to a playoff position right now, 5.5 back out of the third wild card position. How about this? This is a battle of two division leaders. The White Sox with a 3.5 game lead over your Guardians in the AL Central. The Houston Astros now with a 2-game lead over the Rangers and a 5-game lead over the Mariners in the AL West. The Astros trying to get above 500 in the end. They're 69-68 right now, trying to avoid being a division winner with a losing record. So far, so good, but it's dicey. What do you got?
Yeah, it is dicey, although I do think that they put one in the win column here tonight. Easy to say this is my favorite play of the night because it is the only minus money play in the minus 125, minus 130 range here for this one. But Peter Lambert has reverse platoon splits. Righties have hit him well. Lefties have not. Lefties only batting 179 this season against Lambert, 262 slugging percentage. And the guys who are really dangerous in this White Sox lineup are left-handed bats. So I think that Lambert's in a decent spot here tonight to neutralize what is a pretty good lineup, especially because he's held lefties in check so much from a power standpoint. Whereas for Anthony Kay, strikeout percentage under 15% against right-handed batters, 9% walk rate, 16 of the 18 home runs that he's allowed. They've got a 478 slugging percentage against him, 374 on-base percentage. This is a bad, bad matchup for him. You know, the Astros are a very right-handed heavy lineup. Probably have seven righties at least in the lineup here for tonight against Kay. Just not a good spot for him. Little bit worried about the Astros bullpen. Pretty heavy workload over the last few days. Josh Hader's pitched 3 of 4 and 4 of 6. He may not be available tonight, but the Astros bullpen's been pretty solid throughout the course of the season here. So I'll trust that they'll figure this thing out late if they need to. But based on the platoon splits here, really, really big starting pitching advantage for Houston. So I laid this number down there at, what is it, Daikin Park, whatever we call it now, because I loved when it was the Juice Box, when it was Minute Maid.
Yeah.
But I like Houston at home here in this one.
I love the Juice Box. Last thing on baseball. 4 weeks left in the regular season. 4 weeks from now, who is the team that right now is on the outside looking in that will make the playoffs? Who's the team on the inside looking out, perhaps, that won't, either AL or NL? Or Will it just be status quo and nothing will really change?
Always putting me on the spot with these things.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. The obvious answer here is that Cleveland falls out, right? I mean, you know, I could totally see Baltimore sneaking in. Toronto is just all of a sudden kind of hanging around a little bit, just a game out and then the AL wild card. You know, Scherzer turning back the clock like a decade, throwing the 10 strikeout game over the weekend. I don't know. The Blue Jays strike me as a team that
they're getting in.
They're just going to find a way to get in, I think.
Yeah, I think they're getting in. Blue Jays' schedule is easy. I think there's some karma, right? Losing game 7 last year, they deserve to be in, for God's sakes. Let's go.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah. Cleveland, I mean, again, I just – they got to be carried right now by Parker Messick. And at some point, this kid's going to hit a wall. I think he just has to.
Okay, college football. How'd you do week 0? Did you make any bets?
Yeah, week 0. I mean, I had New Mexico State against Florida State. And the early returns on Florida State, not particularly strong. A lot of people out there seem very upset with the performance that the Seminoles had. So that was nice. I had the under in the Jacksonville State, North Dakota State game. Did not expect that final to be as lopsided as it was. Really concerning performance from Jacksonville State offensively. I took Sacramento State against Eastern Michigan, just thinking, you know, Eastern Michigan is not a team that I like very much this season. That one didn't work out. Sacramento State's talent level, particularly in the trenches, is just not FBS caliber. And Eastern Michigan's a team that I don't think is very good. So that was a really bad sign for Sacramento State going forward. Like many, I laid the TCU price. Jaden Craig looked really bad.
Oh, he looked so bad.
He did not look good at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, look, credit to North Carolina. I mean, they were really good defensively last year, and nobody talked about it because the offense was so bad. They come out and put forth a really good defensive effort without their DC, Steve Belichick, in that one. So found out a lot, had kind of a break-even-ish type of week. But, you know, this is a big week here where you got a very high variance environment with 43 FBS versus FBS games. A good opportunity for us to, you know, see what most of these teams are about here this week.
I mean, I'm with you, though, but besides North Carolina getting the W, which I acknowledge they got it, good for them, I don't know if we can say the defense is good because Craig missed about three passes that were going to be huge gainers, and it was just like, where are you? And part of it was maybe the ball was wet, but it certainly affected him more than the other side of the field was affected. Week one, what have you made so far bet-wise, or what are you looking to make? College football.
Haven't bet anything yet. I mean, these lines have been up for a very, very long time. So, you know, now I'm kind of curious to see where the market goes as betting limits are, you know, are much bigger at all the shops that are out there. You've got people taking much stronger positions now. Just kind of waiting to see how things sort of play out a little bit here, you know, before I dive in. I mean, I have my numbers. Most of them are very close to the market, which is, you know, kind of what you want early on in the season here. But I do like Stanford right now, getting 24.5 against Miami. I was impressed with Davis Warren. I think Miami might have a little bit of growing pains with all the roster turnover.
Ooh, I like that answer.
I like it too.
Okay. Adam, appreciate it. Football's here. NFL, a week, well, 9 days away. Can't wait. Thank you so much, Adam.
Take care, guys.
Maybe some tennis head-to-heads. Well, at least we found one head-to-head.
We got one!
Next on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget about Ungambled. We had the CEO in a couple weeks ago. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled's built on a different idea, matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers, and Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/vsin. That's ungambled.com/vsin, and use promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet shop. Look square. I don't know why I read that in that accent, but there you go.
I liked it.
We get tweets. Been in the book. I haven't read tweets in a while. Should I Ron Burgundy through these? Let's go.
Yeah, sure.
What could go wrong? Nemesis Enforcer at Prodigal Son 1. I got the impression, he said, that Venus was kind of forced to quit by the WTA when diagnosed with her mystery condition. Feels like WTA played a role in her diagnosis and are now giving sympathy tourney entries as goodwill tokens to get in front of legal. Well, that's an interesting theory. Hadn't heard that before. Okay. Rich Sports, 1981. I remember ESPN started posting scores at the 28th and 58th minute mark in 1985. Before that, we had to call to get the scores. It's really true, man. When I went to Skins games as a kid, when the PA announcer would come on, like in the third quarter, scores from around the league, we'd all be like, oh my God, scores.
Shut up. We got to hear it.
It's amazing. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties.
Do you know this from a song? What?
He said, Evian is the goat because the size of the... He says, Evian is the goat because of the size of the mouth hole. That is it. First of all, the use of mouth hole is awesome. That's an interesting comment. I never thought about that. So what you're saying is it is a pleasing size of water or amount of water that enters you.
I know what he's talking about.
That's interesting.
And it's a fair point. I did pull this up while you were talking with Adam. FoodRepublic.com's rankings of bottled water. Would you like to hear them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this author, Emily Alexander, did admit that she...
No relation.
She did... A lot of the bottled water is either coming naturally from springs, right, that they add stuff to, or it is basically just, like, tap water that's, mm-hmm. like...
Bottled
up. Yeah. Added a little bit to it, but not much. So, she flat out says she penalized those types, like the tap water that basically just gets repurposed. So, like, Dasani and Aquafina are at the bottom of her rankings.
As they should
20.
Be.
She did 20, okay?
Oh, wow.
Those are at the very, very bottom. Coming in at number 12, Evian.
Oh, stop it.
Number 11, Aquapana.
Stop it again.
Number 8 is Fiji.
Oh, my.
Number 1. It's pretty shocking to me because I've seen this, never had it before. I'm sure you have too. Liquid Death.
Never had it.
Have you seen like the commercials or anything?
Liquid Death.
Yeah, like this. It's like in a can.
Why would you? Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, you've seen it. Apparently.
Why would you call that and why would you put it in a can?
I don't really. Oh, it's a 70% recycled can.
I'm not drinking that.
Can better than a plastic bottle. That's why.
Haji. Desert Dog wins. I have to say out loud, quote, I'm going to check blank on my phone to keep the thought in the vicinity of my brain long enough to remember what I was going to check.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Bet your boots off. The little infographic swirling across the bottom of the TV screen is called a Chiron. Well, no. A Chiron is graphics in general. That's the crawl that you're referring to. When it goes across the bottom of the screen.
Chiron is like a Xerox. It's the name of the company.
Yeah.
That makes these graphics. Anything that gets typed into something you see on screen. Actually, shouldn't even say that because we don't use a company Chiron and you're looking at multiple graphics on our screen if you're watching right now. They have things typed into it.
When I did music video shows, they used to call it Chirons.
Yes.
Then.
At the bottom, you would have the crawl or ticker. That's what you're seeing with our odds. And then you've got lower thirds. Break the screen into thirds, the bottom third.
Wow, it's like a class from Kelly Bidlin. Broadcasting class with your professor, Kelly Bidlin. Chris Heath, I signed up at the Legends Bay Casino in Reno. Proxy, ticket writer, and me, the only people there. Yeah, I was the only person there as well.
Oh, I did.
At Tuscany.
I did not know about that location until I heard Drew and Andy talking about it on a pod.
In Reno?
Yeah. Apparently it's like right on the side of a river. Something like that. And of course, like Dinzik's like talking about like whitewater rafting down this river and like, yeah, it's a great place to sign up. Then go rafting.
Purple Kevin at 11:11 quoting me says, Fiji is too syrupy, unquote. Gil. His rankings? Aquafina 3. What?
Mm-hmm.
Fiji 2. Voss 1. Well, I like Voss. Okay.
Voss is good. It ranked higher than all of our favorites on Sigh. That rankings.
Sigh. Aaron Bender, hey Kelly, hey Gil, Samich on the at the track gave out 4 picks for Saratoga Saturday. 3 of them won,
whew.
And he hit Travers at 11-1. And the following race, it's +1750. Did I bet them? No, got busy at work. Angry emoji.
Yeah,
sorry, Aaron Bender. That was me with Felicas. Did I bet his 2 out of 3? Nope.
Yeah, Danny sends a text basically celebrating. Great call, Chris.
I'm like, okay.
Me and Gil are both like, hey, what money did we miss out on this time?
Montreal Max, you talked about the Dodgers 500 this month, I believe one game below 500, but the splits are telling as they went 2-12 versus likely playoff teams, but then 11-1 versus non-playoff teams with sweeps of the Royals, Rockies, and Pirates. Wow. Okay. Were they exactly 500? Did I have that wrong earlier? Anyway, that's a fascinating split. So they're basically a bully is what you're saying, as Dr. Bob used to say. Related to sports teams. And Mikey P, big fan of Waiakea, better than Fiji water, he says. Waiakea. Xavier 82, riding with Greg Peterson on my family's White Sox over. My Astros, who I'm on for most wins in AL West in August on DraftKings, he says. Who he says most wins AL West? He's doing it by division, because you can also bet those by division. And then...
DraftKings must have been reposted then, right? They're the only spot that was doing that.
Yeah. And then Shrek says, have you heard any updates on Rabakina, radio silence since her withdrawal from EGA? I have not, but she is not someone I would trust with any bets based on her lower leg injury. Are you hearing a strange wind happening in here?
No, it's not. It's you don't hear it as much. Gil's got two ears in. I got one ear in. Whenever they do the slightest amount of construction upstairs, I feel like anywhere in this building, it's somehow, it's someone with a power drill somewhere.
Super distracting. All right, so Kelly endeavored to do some U.S. Open player to advance further props. And he was all excited about this.
Because DraftKings usually does a great job with these every Grand Slam.
And we found one.
They posted one.
Interesting, though. Rafa Hodar, -150 versus Ben Shelton, +110. Who will advance further in the United States Open? I'm here to tell you that I think the price is right here. I think the price is right. And the reason I think the price is right is because Hodar is in Q1. Q1 is the Sasha Zverev quarter. And really, it's Zverev 1, Hodar 2. Hodar, on his half of the bracket, he's beaten everybody. So I think Hodar has a very clear path to the quarterfinal match against Sasha Zverev. Yes, Alex de Minaur is there too, but I don't think Hodar loses to him.
Is Grigor in his way?
I don't even have Grigor even listed. No, Grigor is not in his way.
He is in the quarter.
I think he's on Sasha Zverev's side. No. So I think Hodar gets to the quarterfinals of this tournament, if not beyond. Ben Shelton, on the other hand, who most would say, what are you talking about? Ben Shelton, he's shorter than Hodar is to win this tournament. He's the best American hope by some. Some would say Taylor Fritz. Some would say that it's Shelton. But Shelton is in Q4. Q4 is the group of death. It is the quarter of death. It is Carlos Alcaraz's quarter. Also in that quarter, Artur Fies, who I actually rated ahead of Shelton. Also in that quarter, Alexander Bublik, Tommy Paul, Hubert Hurkacz, Jiří Lehečka. It's just a brutal, absolutely brutal quarter.
I was listening to the Beating the Book podcast yesterday on the U.S. Open preview while I was at the gym, as I often do for every Grand Slam. I thought a very interesting conversation by the three of you on Ben Shelton of just what struggles that he could have every round out of the gates.
May I just say this? Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen. What a great time we have with those podcasts.
I love it. You guys do a great job. The what was it? Zach that was laying out, he could run into like three in a row out. Round of just big time servers.
Brutal draw.
Yeah.
So -150 on Hodar is not a terrible bet, in my humble opinion.
You know what I was looking at? Well, we can transition into some quarter. I have quarters questions for you. Like, okay, for this one right here, men's fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you guys think about Shelton, and I know you're high on Fies.
Yeah.
I can never say his name right.
Artur Fies.
Alcaraz though at plus money. Do we just still have, are we just have overall questions about Alcaraz and what his?
Well, you know what, Kelly? He's about to start his first match with his new long hair. It's about to start in about an hour. You can observe with your own eyes, and if you like what you see, then you should jump in on it.
Would that is that your recommendation, though, on anything with Alcaraz?
Well,
I
think you got to lay eyes on
him. Okay. I think that's fair.
I mean, I bet him to win the whole tournament without laying eyes on him. But now, I mean, even that, listen, there's no Sinner. There's no Djokovic. So, I mean, every one of these guys that goes down, Carlitos is like, well, I know I haven't played in 4.5 months, but I think he can play his way into this tournament. In other words, he's got Roman Safoyin today. He's not going to have a problem beating Safoyin, one would think. But see how he looks, because we haven't really, it's like what what we just said about Rybakina. We don't know, right? We don't know. We haven't seen Rybakina since the injury. We haven't seen Carlitos for 4.5 months. So give it a look and then bet accordingly. Coming back, we'll recap all the bets next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Radio's Gil Alexander. Television's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yo.
Yeah, that's why the ladies love him. Look at that guy. Lost 100,000 pounds, I believe.
Yes.
Close. Let me read through the final tweets. By the way, have I mentioned how great these listeners are today?
Oh, we have amazing listeners, including the guy who came up to us after the show on Friday, who only listens to us, apparently.
Oh, yeah, never seen us. Never laid eyes on us before.
So
right.
What?
What was his name again? We had, by the way, we had tons of folks.
So many people.
So many people outside of the studio on Friday. Really appreciate anybody who wants to come down and say hi. We always love it. Sometimes Drew and I had to go do the podcast, so I feel bad that I had to like sort of rush out. But super nice.
Andy loved retelling this story for like a day.
Which one?
Because apparently you walked out of the studio. The guy was like, "Are you Gil or Kelly?"
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
Gil. And I guess Andy Molitor walked out after you. Andy and Drew were in here for just a hot second after the show. Walked out, and I guess the guy ran up to him, gave him a big high five, thinking he was me.
That's great.
Andy. So Andy loved this. As soon as I walked out, Andy's like, "That's the guy. Go get him."
That's the guy. That's the culprit.
That was great. We ran into so many people, dude. Friday night, I was up there, Legacy Club. Just so many people hanging out with, talking to the listeners. Spent some time with Derbify, your Grandissimo winner from last year, one of the Grandissimo winners. Chris Massaro had a good time with him. I never really spent any time with him in person. We had a drink or two upstairs together laughing about some things.
He's a fascinating follow on Twitter.
He is. And then we ended up at the craps table real late night on Friday night. Mike, who listens to the show, I know he was standing right next to us. I think we were putting on an entertaining show at that point.
One of the greatest Bet Bash stories of all time was Elihu Foistel, who should be in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame, Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Elihu Foistel, author of many a detailed gambling book, a forum guy who helped moderator over at SBR for many years as Justin Seven. Elihu Foistel has been on this show many times. Him explaining the math of craps to a young lady who was there for other reasons. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I felt bad. I walked right by him during Bet Bash, and I didn't say hi. I walked by, and I was like, you know, after you walked by, right, was that Elihu? That was Elihu.
See, what you should do is maximize your odds.
That's hilarious. You should have seen. We had a Will Hill should have bet more moment. Oh. Or I can speak for myself, and I think Matt Brown. Dinzik Friday night. What a social butterfly. I don't know. I was out at dinner with him in drinks. He came and went so many times I barely hung out with him because he was like with other people. And he was on a heater at the craps table.
Oh, wow.
And this one guy was rolling for, I don't know, 45 minutes, and it was five or six every time. Five or six. Five. Five. Six. Five. And
Andy was the shooter?
No, he wasn't a shooter, but he's sitting over there. He's betting it pretty big.
Wow.
This guy keeps rolling. I don't press anything. I'm just sitting there having a drink, having a good time. And we, like, walk away from the end of the table. I'm like, at the end of it, I'm like, how did I only make a couple $100? This guy, like, rolled forever.
Dice Mechanics with Kelly Bidlin next week on A Numbers Game.
Should have bet more.
Montreal Max, you're right, Gil. Dodgers were 2-13 versus playoff teams, so an extra loss. I missed making their bully status even worse, LOL. Kim. Pellegrino, you peasants. Hey, Kim, who are you calling a peasant? That's soda water, right? That's carbonated water. That doesn't count. Nish Gandhi Dio. Did I hear a Shock G quote from I Get Around? Yes, you did. Whenever Torch D... tweets in, we do that. Also, Aquapana number one in the glass bottle, especially. It's legendary. Nothing else is close. JSA723, the Crackman's top three. Number three, Arrowhead. Number two, Tapwater. Number one, Garden Hose. He does like the Garden Hose reference. That's true. Oh, that's funny. All right, Red Sox, in case you missed it, I did most wins for the month of September earlier on the show. I bet two teams. I've never done that before. I went Red Sox 28-1 for reasons stated earlier. And I went Blue Jays. I could not. I was like, okay, they're my two. If the Blue Jays won it, I'd hate myself so much. Garrett Crochet coming back as a guy from a relief arm later this month for the Red Sox. Dylan Cease, five of the Blue Jays' 24 games in the month of September will be him on the mound, plus 23, 25. Blue Jays have one of the three easiest records. Easiest schedules, pardon me, the rest of the way in Major League Baseball. So both of those teams. Red Sox 28-1 at William Hill Caesars yesterday. They're down to 18-1 now. Borderline. I'd still play it, but borderline. Blue Jays plus 2325 was at Circa, so different rules will apply to these as well. Red Sox are subject to the dead heat. Blue Jays are tiebreakers. That was also a reason why I wanted to do a second team, because the Red Sox dead heat situation with fewer games, wanted to kind of avoid that if I could. My season longs in the NFL, Caleb Williams, passing yards leader, 20-1. Apparently, Cleve T.A. yesterday said he loves that bet as well, or at least he would not hate that bet, sort of independently. Nick Benito, defensive player of the year of the Broncos, 14-1.
I really like that one.
Let's go. Danny Higgins had 22-1. By the way, shout out to Danny Higgins. Hope he got to Montana okay.
Oh, he's been helping out the show this morning still.
Yeah, is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Drew Maxwell, potential replacement.
Yep.
Drew Maxwell is a great name.
Really is.
Yeah.
Really is.
Danny
got Greg's bets this morning, though, for some reason.
Oh.
Thanks, Greg. Come on, Greg.
Come on, Greg. Tennis today at the U.S. Open. We have a couple holdovers from yesterday that are still not completed. Kimberly Burrell and Martin Landaluce. So those are still in play. Yesterday was two really tough losses in a 1-3 day. One that we were 2 points away from winning. The other we were up 6-2, 5-2 with a match point we lost. No, it's true. Today, four dogs. Two on the men's side, two on the ladies. These don't start till about noon Pacific. Harry Wendelkin, plus 247 versus Luciano Darderi. Darderi's hard court numbers are not that good. Wendelkin, really good numbers, but on a lower tour.
Where's Harry from? It's not a Wendelkin?
Wendelkin is British, isn't he? You're putting me on the spot here. He is, yes, he's British.
British, okay.
James Duckworth is Australian, if you must know. Plus 140 versus Matteo Arnaldi. You can guess where he's from. He's from Italy.
Ducksworth, man. Wasn't that Mighty Ducks? The boss was named Ducksworth.
No, I think you're thinking of former Portland Trailblazer, Washington Bullet, Kevin Duckworth. I think you're thinking.
Mm.
Daria Schnigor, plus 240 versus Diana Schneider. How do you like that? Daria Schnigor is Ukrainian, plus 240 on Schnigor versus Schneider. Say that a couple times real quick. Schnigor versus Schneider. And then Elisabetta Cocciaretto, she's Italian, plus 160 versus Katerina Siniakova. Wendelkin, Duckworth, Schnigor, and Cocciaretto, your tennis plays of the day.
Yep, Gerald Ducksworth, Gordon Bombay's strict boss. Mighty Ducks.
The hell did you just say?
Legendary character.
Uh-huh.
NFL for me, week one. Jags, Jets, 6-point teaser. Jags, Texans, 6-point teaser. I hope that Texans side takes money and I can tease up the Bills too.
Oh, man.
Bucks, Bengals, under 51.5.
That's the Drew side as well?
Yep. Okay. Tailing Drew a bit on that one. That one stuck out to me, though. It was dang high, and I got questions about what this Bucks team's going to look like heading into the year.
Could use a dang right there.
Dang high.
Mm-hmm. Wes Reynolds, what'd you got?
Wes Reynolds on the show earlier. One college football game for us coming up this weekend in week one. Michigan State laying 10 against Toledo. And then the Berkster, El Bercarino, just on the show about 30 minutes ago. One baseball play for him today.
Three. Giants, plus 174 versus the Braves. Tigers, plus 108 versus the Minnesota Twinkies. And the Astros, minus 127 versus the Chicago White Sox.
And then the Fab Five.
And then Greg Peterson with the Fab Five. Who could forget? It was a long time ago. I almost did. Brewers, even money today versus the Chicago Cubs. This is a big game. Listen, these two teams play each other seven more times. But the Cubs are eight back. So, like, they got to go in these seven games to make this interesting. What do you got to do? 5-2 at the worst in these seven games versus the Brewers? Well, Greg's fading them today. He's got the Brewers in this one at even money, and he's taking the over 9.5 runs in a big NL Central tilt between the Brewers and the Cubbies. Greg is also on the Diamondbacks today, plus 105. Diamondbacks, who are they playing again? I already forgot who the Diamondbacks
checking.
Are. Checking. And then the White Sox, he's got against the Astros, battle of two division leaders in the American League. He's got the White Sox at plus 116.
Phillies at the Diamondbacks.
That's right. Diamondbacks are playing the Phillies. He's got the Diamondbacks, a slight dog, plus 105. Braves also is a side that that Greg is playing today, minus 135. That is Oppo.
Yes, the Berkster.
The Berkster. That's right. Greg got a good number. I don't think that number's even close to that anymore. And then Yankees-Angels under 8.5 runs. So he bookends both of those with totals. Yankees-Angels under 8.5 runs in the American League. The only American League. Well, no, he's got the White Sox, too. So he's got a couple American League games. That's right. There you go.
Roadhouse coming up, undecided date.
Texas Roadhouse. We can't seem to get the crew together and Kelly and me on the same page, so we don't know what's happening, but eventually we will have the Greg Peterson Texas Roadhouse experience.
Hell of a dinner we had Thursday night, though.
Drew, I believe, called it. Drew Dinsick called it.
It's up there, man.
He said, quote, "The more I think about it, it was one of the greatest meals I've ever had." Unquote.
Yeah, it's up there, man. Yeah. It was great.
Yep. Ito at Fontainebleau. It'll cost you a couple pennies, though. We've done all we can do. Prop Points is next with John Hansen.
That's right. John Hansen back.
Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.